Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
All right. It's time. We're an hour into the show, and now it is time to have, yes, that conversation. Also, Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. Just hit up the Folsom Lake Hotline at 12 p.m. for your chance. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get to the Sack Chat. Shout out to the Sack Chat, as always, in the text line, doing their thing already. Also, some good calls. This is from Michael Baldacci. Can't have guys like Herter starting. You play with four guys on offense to start the game when you do that, which is a crazy statement because Herter is the offensive guy, right? Now, normally you would say can't have four guys on the defensive end. Mike is saying can't have four guys on the offensive end. So let's kick it off right here, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. Not that Keon Ellis tore the world on fire on Saturday night. He was 2-for-4 from the field. He was 1-for-2 from three. He had 5 points. He was actually a -4 on the night, but normally when you lose, there are a lot of minuses. Nobody. There was one plus on the day, and that was Alex Len, and he only played 7 minutes. So Keon essentially got starter minutes. I know it might feel like we've had this conversation in a different way, but at the same time, you're playing somebody 16 minutes. He's getting 3 shots. He's got 2 assists, 1 rebound on the day. It's hard for me if it's a confidence thing, which we tried to get into the mind of Coach Mike Brown last week. If it's a confidence thing, you can't tell me that Kevin Herter's confidence hasn't changed just because he's still starting but playing 16 minutes.
Yeah, and I've also been thinking about it too, and it does – there is an argument for, like, you know, I've been saying, you know, oh, if he comes off the bench, well, then there's a lot of pressure for him to hit his first 2 shots. Well, it kind of seems like there's already a ton of pressure for him to hit his first 2 shots. And so what's really the difference? Maybe you could argue coming off the bench as well. You can let him kind of breathe a bit, sit on the bench, you know, get a rhythm for, or, you know, get to experience the rhythm from the bench and then kind of, you know, get a feel before he ends up start or getting into the lineup. But ultimately, I think this thing comes down to, for me at least, it's a question of if you take Kevin Herter out of the starting lineup, would it feel wrong to put him back in if things don't go well? Mm-hmm. And to me, I just want to be a little bit more sure that Keon Ellis is a thing that's here to stay. And I Keon has grinded to get to this point here, and I'm not saying what we've seen isn't truly who he is, but I want to give Kevin just one last breath here because I just feel like the toothpaste can't go back into the tube to me. Like, if you take Kevin Herter out, I think that's the statement of we've given you every single opportunity and you're probably not going to go back to him 5 games after benching him, or at least I don't think you should. So if you're going to make that move, I just think you have to be 100% sold that you are putting all of your eggs essentially in the Keon Ellis basket. And, you know, and maybe it doesn't have to just be Keon. You can, maybe if Keon doesn't start playing well, maybe you can throw Duarte and maybe it becomes a anybody but Herter kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just kind of still feel like I'd give Kevin this road trip. And if nothing happens over this road trip, which is the next 4 games after this, that's probably when I would ultimately pull the plug, just because, again, like, it's been a really good stint here with Keon, but I just want to see just a little bit more before I make a move like taking Herter out. Because, again, I just think once you take him out, I just think it'd be tough to tell him, hey, yeah, nobody else worked out. You're still not working out, but we're just going to throw you back in there.
Which they kind of already did earlier this season.
A little bit, yeah.
when it was the Duarte thing, sure, and then Kevin ended up playing again.
I would argue it's a warning shot, you know?
Yeah.
They threw him back in there, not necessarily justifiably. They just kind of threw him back in there.
So there's 16 games left, which is crazy.
Yes,
right?
Very much so.
So based on that model, there would be, and let's say that nothing changes, so you get Memphis tonight. And this is against lesser opponents, right?
Exactly.
So you have... You're going to get you get the four games. Let's say nothing changes. March 25th against Philly, you host Philly, which is a game before the two very important games against Dallas.
Right.
So now at that point, you're sitting at 12 games left. Mm-hmm. So you have 12, you would have 12 games left to make that move.
I think the decision is made at that point.
Yeah. So I'm saying they come back home. Let's say nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Keon starts against the Sixers. So now you have 12 games for Keon to be a starter going into the playoffs and to hopefully stay out of the play-in.
Yeah.
And for Kevin Huerter to figure out what he's going to do coming off the bench.
Yeah.
12 games, I feel like that has to be the limit. You know me. I said, do it tonight.
Yeah.
I understand your more than 10 games I'm cool with.
Yeah. I think it's got to be before those Dallas games, too.
And the question, yes, it has to be before the Dallas games. And the question is how – if it's – four more games like this, what we just saw from Kevin Huerter, I think that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, he had a donut.
Right.
The problem is, what if he has 10 points tonight against a bad Grizzlies team, but they win, and they're timely shots? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? That's why I don't think a move will be made. I just think that Mike is very comfortable with this opener-type deal, like he's Gabe Kapler,
then just relegating
Kevin to the bench, which... Okay, you know, you're the coach. If that's how you think it should work. Let's hear from Brandon, who wants to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of Styles and Watkins. What's up, Brandon? What you got for
us? What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good. We're good, man.
Hey, so in my opinion, I think the Kings kind of made the decision already at the deadline. If they wanted to move on from Huerter, that was the time to do it. Because right now, I feel like you got two engaged guys, at least, with Ellis and Huerter. But in my opinion, if you put Huerter to the bench, I think you lose him. And this close to the playoff run, I think you just got to hope that when you get there, he's hitting his shots. He's a streaky shooter. If for some reason he happens to be hit when the playoffs start, we're going to be happy we have him. I just think right now it's too late in the season to make a move like that. Mm-hmm. You risk a chance of losing a guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brandon. I guess
the question is,
what if
is
it
he
goes
already
into
lost?
The yes, is he already lost? And if it continues in the playoffs, you can't make a move in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, I guess what the famous one with the Warriors with Andre Iguodala, technically they did it during the finals. But
are you willing to go down with the Kevin Huerter ship?
Or could you make the argument that in the playoffs it would be easier because the urgency is so obvious?
Yeah.
And if, let's say, they get to the playoffs and they have the, what's it looking like right now? The Timberwolves in the first round. And they come out and they're in Minnesota and Kevin does exactly what he does on Saturday. And Keon hits a couple more shots, right? So Keon helps to lock up Anthony Davis a little bit and, you know, maybe leaves with 7 points. And Kevin played less than 20 minutes. Is it then easier? Does Mike Brown have more of an out during the playoffs to say, hey man, we got to get the best thing up there. So we're going with Keon here. Or is it even worse, I guess? Because now we have to give up on anybody.
Yeah.
It's not just a Kevin Huerter thing.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. But then you would have never seen Kevin off the bench and you would have never seen Keon starting not as a fill-in.
Yeah. It's a tough one because I hear what you're saying. I don't think it would be that big of a problem. Like you said, I mean, it happens. Like, people do get benched in the middle of series for matchup reasons. And
right, you just claim matchup.
Exactly. It's just tough for me to not say, hey, yeah, like you said, like, you want to give that runway of getting these guys at least a little bit comfortable in that role that you're going to ask them to play. I think as much experience as you can give them in those roles so they understand, not just those guys specifically, but there's got to be a big difference for De'Aaron and for Sabonis playing with Keon than playing with Kevin. Like, it's either everybody on the perimeter is you just get them the ball and you feel like Keegan, HB, Kevin, they're all letting it fly immediately. You know, Keon does sometimes turn down some shots because he understands, like we've talked about it, sometimes Keon Ellis taking the jump shot is exactly what the other team wants. So he's not, like, it changes just a little bit for the other guys as well. So it's not just those guys that need those games, those extra reps to figure it out. It's the entire team as well. So I'm going to opt for the side of the sooner you can do it, the better.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't do it in the playoffs, but you have to understand that there's just a possibility that that's not going to help at all.
Doing it now is more of a headache for Mike Brown in pressers and having to answer the question.
Right.
Doing it, but you would get a runway of seeing if it would be better for
in
the team.
In theory.
Playoffs would be easier for Mike Brown because it's guys. You know what it is.
Yes.
It's next man up. Right. We got
to
go.
He's not making shots. We don't have two games for him to figure
exactly.
it out.
Exactly. But at the same time, now you're in the playoffs and you're figuring it all out on the fly.
Yeah. I think at the very least, like, it's – you again, you just want to have as much experience. Like, that's not groundbreaking or anything. I just think that you because they already know. That's the thing is whatever direction they're going to go, they already know what it is. And so I would just think that, you know, I mean, they clearly haven't seemed to budge on Kevin. I just think they're going to end up rolling with Kevin all the way through.
I think so, too.
And I think it would take an absolute disaster for
but what about
playoffs.
More? What about more less than 20-minute games?
Yeah, that's probably crazy. Going to be norm. If he's, I think that's the line for him is it's just like, you know, if you're not going, you're just not going to play. But we're gonna keep giving you the chance. But we're not gonna lose because we play you for 25, 30 minutes.
The other part of this is seeing Keon in a starting situation. This is the situation right now with Keon. Okay, if you're an uncle or an aunt, my little sister loves being an auntie. She loves being an auntie. She loves to come over. She loves to buy her niece a lot of clothes and things like that. She loves being an auntie. Or if you go over and you dog sit, right? Everybody wants to be the cool uncle or the cool auntie because you get to leave, okay?
Yes, it's the best.
Keon Ellis, we've only seen him as a fill-in,
yes,
essentially.
Exactly.
Or an uncle or an auntie.
He's the backup quarterback, right?
We have not seen him. Hey, expectations have changed now. Mm-hmm. Now you're the starter.
Yeah.
This isn't a fill-in, feel-good story. Now we need you to produce.
Right.
I don't know that I want to see that for the first time, getting his first puppy, okay? And now you got to take care of it all throughout the day. I don't know if I want to see that for the first time during the playoffs.
Yeah. No, and I mean, to be devil's advocate, to be the person on Twitter that I think we all hate, like, you could say, hey, Keon Ellis played 30 minutes. Jalen Brunson still got 42 points. So how much did that help, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't agree with it. You look at the numbers and Keon defended Jalen Brunson better than anybody, but at the same time, like, that's where, to use Brendan Nunes's, what he always loves to say is, hey, maybe you do lean more into your offense instead of trying to, you know, like almost patchwork or band-aid your way to a good defense. Maybe you win that game if Kevin Huerter or whatever, if you just have a couple more threes, maybe that game goes differently. Maybe you don't need to be good on defense because Jalen Brunson's going to score, what is it, what, maybe you could argue he would have scored 50 or something, but the argument is, you know, maybe if you make your shots, you win that game. Clearly, you played the best defense you could. You still allowed 42 points, and, you know, they only scored 98.
After he missed that first shot,
that's
Chris,
just being devil's advocate.
After he missed that first shot,
yeah.
It was over.
No, it was a wrap.
It was over.
There was no way he was going to recover from that.
Only one of them made a three on Saturday. One played 16 minutes, one played 29, and that person was Keon Ellis. Continuing the conversation, the texts and the calls are rolling in. Keep them coming. And the Sack Chat. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Live Nation is teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. That's this week. All you have to do, if you don't have plans this week, maybe you can get some if you are the lucky caller at 12 p.m. I think we said Nate will pick the number. We'll have Nate pick the number. Talking about Kevin Huerter and Keon Ellis, surprise, surprise. And this is from the 914. That sounds new. The 914. If KH can't learn to come off the bench, he's going to have a heck of a short career. He needs to be a professional and know his role. The sooner, the better.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm trying to think if you put Kevin Huerter on a majority. Let's do it. Should we do that exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Would Kevin Huerter start on this team? Or how important?
In the Western Conference.
Yes, in the Western Conference. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, look, he's a young guy. He's been very open about his struggles, yeah. And I appreciate that. But I've always said, why is Kevin Huerter sharpied in as a starter in this league?
It's a fair question.
In this league.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, especially if he's going to be, like Mike Malone talked the other day, like a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not usually the kind of guys that play in the playoffs or that you would play heavy minutes in the playoffs or guys who really only provide one thing. And, you know, again, Kevin Huerter's deflections have been great, but at the end of the day, he's a shooter. And if he's not hitting shots, he's not
even taking
a high
shots.
Enough level shooter,
yeah.
Or a defender to justify his playing time. So Oklahoma City Thunder, would Kevin Huerter start instead of Josh Giddey? I would think so. I would think so. I don't think it's out of the question.
Sure.
He might.
What Kevin Huerter? This Kevin Huerter this season? That's the problem.
I mean, yeah.
Which Kevin Huerter are you getting?
I would just say the Kevin Huerter that he's been for a majority of his career. Because you could argue maybe
every team needs
circumstance.
Shooting, right?
Yeah.
Giddey is himself. He's very young.
Giddey's a terrible defender also.
He reminds me of another dull Swiss Army knife. I'm not really sure what it is that he does. Yeah.
This is shocking to me that you said that. I really thought you'd take Giddey over Huerter instantly.
I'm not really sure.
Not if for you, that team.
Okay,
especially.
When we and by the way, we're still on our heater for Prop Talk at 1:45.
That's right.
So be sure to tune in at 1:45.
Kevin Herter's name will not be mentioned.
Will not be mentioned.
Will not be.
But when I do Prop Talk, if you look at Josh Giddey's actual numbers,
yeah.
It would really make you wonder what is it? What is his shtick?
I thought you were going to say if you look at his picture because they were using the Dune picture for Josh Giddey.
if you look at his numbers, it'll be at like 2.5 to 3 assists. 10 points.
So if you look at his
rebounds.
If you look at his numbers this year, he's down 7 minutes per game from last year to this year. His points are also down 5 points per game. His assists are down to 4.4. His rebounds are down to 6.1. He's shooting 32% from three, 46% from the field. You know, I just think that Kevin Huerter makes a little bit more sense for that lineup also specifically. They have Shea. To me, it makes more sense to have a shooter next to Shea than a guy who kind of needs – he's like a Ricky
everybody,
Rubio. He's like a Jason Kidd.
But everybody needs shooting. Yeah. Everybody will always need shooting.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like Kevin would start on that team. I don't think he would start for the Denver Nuggets. I don't think that's even a conversation. I don't think KCP is – I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, Kevin Huerter is the Will Barton to the eventual KCP.
Yes.
Kevin Huerter is not the KCP. That's that's if he were, he would be able to play right now, even if he weren't making shots. Minnesota, I mean, that's Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
He's probably in, like, is he – he's cracking the rotation probably.
Right.
But he's probably not playing – he's probably playing about 16 to 20 minutes, right? Like, he's just coming in as a shooter.
Clippers, no.
I mean, yeah, they're too star-studded. Even off the bench, like, I think they would prefer Norm Powell, my guy Norm Powell, instead. Yeah. The Pelicans, it depends on what their lineup is. Kevin doesn't really – I guess they just in general need shooting. But, again, does Kevin Huerter start on the Pelicans? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
They probably have 3 or 4 other options. And then that brings us to the Kings at 6. At number 7, are we taking Dallas, he probably starts on Dallas.
Yeah, he starts on Dallas.
Sure. That's more Dallas's weaknesses than Kevin Herter's strength. Mm-hmm. Phoenix, Grayson Allen. I think we're taking this year's Grayson Allen over
to.
Kevin Herter. Golden State, they bench Clay. They probably would bench Kevin Herter.
Right. I mean, that's kind of no blood drawn on both, right?
And then the Lakers. Would he start over Austin Reeves? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
He wouldn't.
He would get minutes.
Yeah.
But, again, I think we're trending a little bit more towards 16 to 20. So that's the top 10.
Yeah.
And we said he would start for OKC, but there was some debate there. Everywhere else was pretty much a non-question, or he's getting 16 to 20 minutes. So if we're talking about here and he's getting 16 to 20 minutes and there's questions on whether or not he starts or not, seems like maybe maybe we're not too far off base by asking these questions.
Maybe. Do you honestly think that a lot of this is, it's almost to me worse than somebody just needs to pull the Band-Aid off. I feel like Coach Mike Brown, he probably woke up today and he's just, okay, am I going to have to answer a question about Kevin Herter today? Right? And he's probably just going to give you a stock answer. And as media, you have to figure out a way to ask it in a more unique way. And I'm honestly going back and forth in my mind to figure out, if I ask a question tonight, how do you ask it differently?
Ask about somebody else. Ask about Keon instead of asking about Kevin. And you'll probably get an answer that you can read between the lines.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. And the question ultimately gets asked in a certain way, and he just doesn't scoff at it, but he gets pretty close to scoffing at it.
Yeah, he gets defensive for sure.
He gets defensive. It's not a lot of details at all. And honestly, you're to the point where it almost would be, I think your issue or your conversation is, hey, how do you go back to Kevin after it didn't start with Keon? I don't know if that's that big of a deal, right? I mean, you have to the 914's point, you have to be able to be versatile. Kevin's in a slump. You know what I mean? If Keon gets in and it's not working out with Keon and Kevin finds a way to play well off the bench, I mean, it's not like we're sending him to across the country here. You know what I mean? Or across the world. Hey, you need to just make an adjustment. You can make the argument, we're trying to get you going.
Yeah, they definitely are.
We're trying to get you going. And it hasn't been going as a starter. Maybe you'll get it going off the bench. We're trying to
Clay
get
Thompson?
You going.
Clay Thompson's
and
playing good.
It's worked out for Clay. Yeah. So it's not about, we're trying to get the best out of you.
Yes.
And we're not getting the best out of you right now as a starter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a look that we have. And then when he balls out, you make the decision, hey, is it because of the move, or has he figured it out? Can you put him back in? I don't know if it's that hard to put him back in. If Keon's offense falls off a cliff and Kevin really starts to find it, I think that's just, you just make that decision. But yeah, I don't know that it's impossible for Kevin. We just want to get you going.
Yeah, no, definitely. The reason why I just think it's so hard is inconsistency in general throws these guys off. And, you know, again, like, it's the fact that De'Aaron's asked to do if Keon's on the floor for 30 minutes is a lot different than what Kevin's asked to do for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would again say, like, that's where the consistency matters. Isn't necessarily just for Keon and Kevin, but for everybody else around him who also has to, you know, if Kevin's playing fourth quarter minutes instead of Keon, which happened on Saturday, Keon played, I think, a couple minutes in the fourth. Kevin wasn't even looked at in the fourth quarter. That means De'Aaron's now got to guard the best guy, you know, if Kevin is out there. If Keon's out there, then obviously De'Aaron gets a little bit more of a break. He can be a bit more of a risk taker. I just think that it changes up the other guys more so than Kevin and Keon themselves.
Pike 916 has a very interesting response to our exercise on where Kevin would or would not start. Let's talk about it when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento March 22nd. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 12 p.m. So in 30 minutes, we will pick a caller, and one of you will have plans for this Friday. Have either of you been to the Crest Theater?
Yes, not in a while, but you know, you obviously can see it every time you walk down K Street.
I was, yeah, Crest. Okay, that's, I always mix up Crest and Fox for some reason. I've been to both, but Crest, I saw.
There's a Fox Theater?
I saw Channel 5 there. Yeah, there's a Fox. I saw Channel 5 there. Nice. Andrew Callahan was wearing a Jason Williams jersey, 55. Sick. It was funny. And then recently, I liked, sometimes they'll show old films there. It's not the greatest theater, but stuff you didn't get to see in theaters maybe. So I saw The Life Aquatic, which is like a Wes Anderson, Bill Murray, like last year. And I mean, I love that stuff. It's just fun going to theaters like that.
Yeah.
It's a cool venue, too,
it's
for
shows. It's a good venue, yeah, especially for a comedy show.
There
it's
you fun. Go. So 30 minutes, you will have your chance to win those tickets to see Hannibal Buress. As we continue the conversation, Keon or Kevin, Pike916 had something to say when we read off all of the contenders in the Western Conference, all the playoff teams and play-in teams where Kevin Herter would start or wouldn't start. Pike says that same list would apply to Keon as well, though.
Which 1,000%.
Isn't wrong, but I think the point of the exercise or the point of the conversation as far as Keon and Kevin is a bit different because of what they give you.
Yeah.
So
there's also a conversation of it's ridiculous that to even ask if Kevin should out of the lineup, and it's like, it's not great.
Yeah, right. That's really, it's not about whether or not Keon would start on those teams.
Exactly.
What it's about is the idea that Kevin is a full-fledged starter in this league for the next X amount of years.
Yeah.
That's what we don't know yet.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
Yeah. No, but Pike is correct. Like, that is also true about Keon, which does also spur, which is why I'm a little bit less willing to just throw Keon in there because, is Keon just the hot option right now? Mm-hmm. Or is, because what is this really about? Is this about rewarding Keon for his play, or is it about taking Kevin Herter down because of his play? And it feels like it's a bit more of, we're looking for any excuse to get Kevin. Not that it doesn't make sense, not that the conversation shouldn't be had, but it seems to me like the conversation is Kevin in the starting lineup first and foremost.
Yes. So essentially it's going to get brought up over and over again. And we discussed this with Whitey during the crosstalk or one of the crosstalks last week. Mm-hmm. And if you do look around the NBA, unless you are a top three seed, all of these teams, or maybe let's say top four seed, all of these teams that are five or below, there's at least one dude where, the same as the backup QB, there's one dude that the team thinks or the fans think should be starting, that media thinks maybe should be starting, and one dude that the question mark is whether they should be in the lineup or not. All of them. The Lakers, the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Lakers weren't starring Rui. Yep. And then you have Pajemski on the Warriors. So any team, because you are not playing up to expectations, right? So that is why this is not a unique conversation. And if it wasn't Kevin Herter, if it was a different roster, it would be somebody else.
Yeah.
Because that's why you're fighting for the play-in. Because you're not winning games consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So
we looked at HB earlier this year.
Earlier this year. The problem with HB is that there's less of a
pool
of an easy answer to fill in what HB does. We had the conversation about Trey Lyles, and Trey Lyles got cold.
Yep.
Trey Lyles wasn't forcing the issue the same way Keon is more so forcing the issue, and we got to see Keon start due to different injuries, and he played well. So this isn't a unique thing to the Kings to where it's, oh my goodness, why is this happening? Why is there always somebody that either should be starting or shouldn't be starting? This happens with everybody.
Yes, absolutely. While we're talking about Trey Lyles as well, just saw an update from Sean Cunningham. Let me pull it up here.
Yes.
That Sasha Vezenkov was seen as a full participant today at King's shoot-around. He'll be out tonight versus the Grizzlies, but is making progress towards his return to action.
Wow.
So, you know, yes, as we know, Trey Lyles is going to be out for the next, I think they said, 2 weeks before they reevaluate. Seems like Sasha is trending towards playing. Definitely will not go tonight, but, you know, the Kings play the Raptors, what, on Wednesday? Mm-hmm. And then again, play the Wizards on Friday. So who knows? Maybe by the end of this week, we see if, not that Sasha, of course, plays into this conversation we're having here, but who knows if maybe Sasha, to the point about Trey, maybe Sasha gets some gets a little bit of a look here.
Where does he fit in at all in this line? You guys are talking about the lineup. There's
no idea.
I don't even know where to start.
If that's the thing,
yeah.
We know what the number is. It's that, what, 28% from three. If they cannot find shooting, they will have to play Sasha because they have to make shots. Chris, the way you're putting it is, we'll see if he travels with them. If he travels with them, anything can happen. But I feel somewhat safe saying Sasha might be back for that Sixers game March 25th.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would definitely think so. Because this is the sixth week of the 4 to 6 week evaluation. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if he doesn't play by Friday. I really would. If he's a full participant, and last week we saw him not necessarily, and it says full participant in shoot around, not necessarily in a, you know, full contact practice or anything, but we saw him start to get some shots up last week. You know, with your ankles, it's just kind of about giving it time and then how mobile you are, how able you are to cut and everything. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him by Friday. Like,
the sooner
I think
the better.
This is a really good sign for him, and this is kind of a bit of a last, I don't want to say last dance because that implies he's going to be gone, but for this season, it does feel like if he can't find a little bit of a foothold on the rotational spot, I you know, obviously with under 15 games to go by the time he comes back, it's just going to be tough to you know, not, it'd be tough for him to struggle initially and then get into the lineup by the time the rotation. So he's got to kind of hit the ground running here if he is going to play here soon.
And I'll tell you what, if Sasha plays on Saturday, if he played on Saturday, the Kings win that ball game.
That's interesting.
If Sasha Vezenkov played against the Knicks, they would have won. Because he's making a bow and arrow lefty three. He's making at least one of his bow and arrow lefty threes.
You're also you weren't able to pull Hartenstein out at all from three. Like, you weren't, you know, you could try with Trey being out and with Sasha being out. Like, there's no, you know, I guess they're probably not wasting OG on Trey or Sasha. They're probably going to put a smaller guy or put Hartenstein on him. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely argue that. You can definitely argue. I mean, just one person who's hitting shots on Saturday could have changed it. And, you know, that was the hope for Sasha this year, is that he would just have a couple games where he checks in and just is on fire. Mm-hmm. And maybe he can get in, you know, 15 to 20 point game on a random night. And that definitely would have been enough to win it. And, I mean, that's definitely an interesting way of looking at it, because they had to go HB and had to go Keegan for the entirety of the game, even though neither of them really had it.
At 12 o'clock, we will give our final thoughts on the Knicks game. We will close that chapter and open the next chapter for Kings Grizzlies, and we will have an injury report. And it's a laundry list of players yet again for the Grizzlies, but one star shooting guard is back. How will the Kings contain? That is at 12 o'clock. When we return, I will give Chris an update on whether or not my alma mater was actually point shaving. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
At 12 o'clock, we will have the injury report and final thoughts on Knicks Kings and begin the Grizzlies conversation. This is from the 702. I don't know if the 702 is referring to our conversation about it not being aesthetically pleasing, But this is from the 702, and they say, have you guys even played basketball? You seem to be equating shooting percentage to entertainment value and good basketball. Love the game. Didn't look like a teenage lifetime pickup run or NBA All-Star game. Kings-Knicks game was some of the best basketball I've seen all year. Physical and intense, and when a shot went in, everybody celebrated. And
I guess this might have to be a poll, because we also got a text that said top 10 worst game I've seen all season.
Okay, and then they're talking about Katie, who is not on this show. And sorry, Katie, it wasn't even close to being out of control. Just fun grown men b-ball. That's right.
Okay. No, I think they're referring to at the beginning of the show when I said, because we also got another text that said, when I said the game was boring, which wasn't probably the right choice of words, but I was just saying it was poorly executed.
I thought.
And like, yeah, it was exciting, but it was, it doesn't mean it was a well played game. It was very, very physical, which I don't have a problem with, but I think some of the physicality led to missed shots and, I don't know. Yeah, again, it wasn't the most aesthetic. Like, the Kings have played very aesthetic basketball all season long. That was not what it normally looks like.
Yeah, it just depends on what your cup of tea is, right? Some people like a more physical game, and I get it. The urgency for those buckets that were few and far between definitely was there. So I get all that. It's just, you know, you're not – you're either going to like it or you're not. You're not going to convince somebody to like a game like that. You're not going to convince somebody to not like a game like that. So I think it's kind
of – more Knicks games if you enjoy that.
That's what they do. That's
like
what
the
they do.
Fifth straight game that they've held opponents under 100 points.
But, yeah, anytime there's a game that's close within the last 2 minutes, it's normally a good game. Yes. It doesn't even really matter how you got there.
Right.
So it was definitely a good game.
Right.
Now, do you want to see 82 games like that? Some people do, some people don't.
I don't.
Some people do. Some people definitely don't. Some people definitely do not. Depends on where you fall. So I just wanted to get to this, Chris, with March Madness coming. It was quite a...
It looked like a March Madness game.
It did look like a March Madness game in terms of, you know, college basketball also not being able to make shots.
Laying bricks.
So crazy story coming out of my alma mater, Temple basketball. So basically, earlier in the season, Temple was essentially accused of throwing games and or point shaving. Sports Illustrated wrote an article about it. There were a couple games where the odds just moved a ridiculous amount, like hours before the game, and there were no reports of injuries or anything like that. So I guess they got investigated for it. I don't know if the investigation is still going on. So what does Temple do? They were the 11 seed in the AAC tournament. They were the 11 seed. They win four games straight. Also taking down the 3 seed. I think they may have also taken down the 3 seed. I think they also took down the 2 seed en route to the championship game, and as an 11 seed, and they were 5-15 in conference. If they won last night or yesterday, they would have been in the tournament, and they end up losing. UAB won as a 4 seed, and you had Barstool tweeting about it. At one point, they were pulled off of sports books because nobody felt like they could trust what Temple was going to do. Ultimately, they lose, and it's just an even more confusing story because of the fact that they went on this run.
Right.
People are wondering, does that mean that you actually were throwing games?
Right. But the question would be, they were actively betting against themselves is what this is
implying. Or the coach had certain lineups. It was very bizarre. Very, very bizarre, all of it.
That's
it feels like they were back on the sports books yesterday.
Yeah, and that's where, like, this, you know, we like to do prop talk on this show, but that's, like, the evil side of this, where even college kids do have access to, I don't know, is in Pennsylvania, can you mobile sports bet?
You can.
See? And so that's where this becomes a hairy situation, where especially... Yeah. At a school like Temple, no disrespect, but y'all ain't getting NIL money like Penn State is probably.
No, we are not.
And so, you know, these kids maybe say, you know, NIL's cool, it's great, but It's the disease of more. You get a little and you are saying, well, I don't have as much as these guys. And so is this one of those consequences of both NIL? This is almost like a perfect story of merging all the controversies in college basketball except for transfer, I guess. Maybe somehow that can loop its way in. But yeah, you have NIL and you have sports betting kind of merging into one here. And
it's dicey.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy when you lay out that, yeah, they go into the tournament as an 11 seed and then to make it all the way through. Like, that's crazy. That's clearly, I mean, that's showing that y'all were definitely better than what you showed it.
Yeah, like, this is kinda, this is from nuts. CBS Sports. This was a day ago or 23 hours ago. Temple emerged as a major March storyline following reports of suspicious gambling activity surrounding its games. My buddy also said, my former player as well, he pitched, and he said, I don't know, dude. I think they were just really bad. So the idea that bettors were just hopping on something.
It's kind of a crazy switch to flip.
I'm imagining, like, can you imagine being so bad people think that you're throwing games?
Yeah. Like, that's, you would, like, you would have to be so good that you could fail, like, intentionally. Like, no, like, I think that is maybe giving them too much credit. Like, I know there's a South Park episode about the kids hating baseball and so much so that they learn how to, like, hit the ball into gloves. Like, that seems to be almost what people are saying. Temple, because they were what? I'm looking here.
I thought this was America.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Nate. Temple was 11 and 19 at one point this year. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, record-wise, it does make sense.
Yeah, they took down FAU.
To go from that to almost winning the tournament, I mean, you can maybe say maybe they were that good, but that just feels like
they just
something
got on a heater.
Flipped. It sounds like something flipped.
Who is investigating?
Too dramatic.
This is from CBS Sports. U.S. Integrity is investigating the suspicious wagering
Wait,
activity.
Wait, we need U.S. Integrity to look at some of these free throw numbers.
Surrounding Temple, according to Sports Illustrated, it's a gambling watchdog company that works to combat illicit college sports betting and fraud.
Interesting.
What sparked the investigation? Temple's 100-72... home loss against UAB on March 7th supposedly led to the inquiry due to suspicious betting activity surrounding the matchup. Coincidentally, UAB and Temple wound up being the matchup in Sunday's AAC tournament game. What may have constituted the suspicious activity? UAB was a narrow favorite before the line changed dramatically during the day of the game. UAB was at one point favored by 8 points in the market before the line closed at -7 UAB. Big line movements aren't uncommon with injuries, but there were nothing like that. Was that the only Temple game to draw scrutiny? Apparently not. Sports Illustrated reported that the U.S. Integrity has been monitoring Temple games for a while.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. It's not great. It's not great.
I don't really know where to fall on this.
Here you go. How is Temple doing against the spread since the investigation started? Since that loss, Temple is 5-0 against the spread and suddenly finding a level of consistent success that had been noticeably absent before.
I mean, that's crazy.
We'll never know.
Like, where does this go? Yeah, because it's like, I mean, the implication is that it's the players and coaching staff because, you know,
all colluding together?
Yeah, that's insane. There's just no way. It would have to be such a large pool of money at the end of the rainbow for that to make sense.
And they're getting there's some NIL money. I mean, it's not crazy, but
of course.
It's hard for, I don't know. Obviously, it's my alma mater. I hope that this is not true, but I had to give you that update because people were texting me all day long, what is going on with your school? And then Barstool got a hold of it, and it was a whole thing.
At that point.
Also wanted to take a second to talk about Rennell Brooks Moon, who, if you are a Giants fan, you definitely know the voice of the Giants. She is the voice no more after 24 years. They have parted ways. From what I'm hearing, it was same old contract negotiations. Mm. I've had national media texting me today trying to see what the heck happened. I'm talking to my connects to see what's going on. But yeah, a sad day for the Giants and somebody that I don't know her personally, but we've spoken on a small level. And when you think Giants, when you think about those championship years, you talk about Rennell, and she has been somebody that has been synonymous with the
yeah.
with the Giants, but that is not the case anymore. That
no.
is not the case.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even me as like a somebody who goes to maybe one or two Giants games a year, like it was, I mean, she was one of the best. Like mm-hmm. she just her energy is incredible. And you know, it's really sad, especially, you know, you consider as well, like the external factors that, you know, she's a female in mm-hmm. sports and that was never really a, you know, never questioning anything, but like, she was just the best at her job. And, you know, there was really nobody else I could have imagined doing it better than that. And, you know, I definitely hope that, you know, you said earlier, there's maybe some talk that the Giants are backtracking on this. But
or that they will. There is the biggest thing here is there has not been a named replacement.
Right.
With the
and the season starts
season
in a week.
Is right
a
around
week
the
and
corner.
A half, maybe. So.
So something went wrong here.
Right.
And I am digging, trying to figure out what exactly
Very interesting.
Went wrong. Coming up next, we have the injury report for the game tonight, so far at least, as we discuss the Grizzlies and the Kings, and we put our final thoughts together on the Knicks. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.